As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily, the challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshaies, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. Deshaies is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and Passion, Desire, and Contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. Deshaies has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. You will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshaies. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshaies2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
Are you prepared to shake away your fear of being rich and successful? You must discover ways to accumulate wealth without adding more work to your day. The Wealth Dad system adds more value to your hours by creating an opportunity to multiply your efforts. Visit WealthDadSystem.com. If you want more information, call 407-459-4827. This is an opportunity to change your quality of life and increase your monthly cash flow. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thought, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As always, you know I'm excited and proud to be here with you to give an opportunity to share and have a conversation about what is going on and how our lives are being impacted now and in the future. It is important that we always talk about the things that are going on that have a special meaning in our lives, and today is no different. Today I just want to discuss and talk about something that is seriously impacting a vital part of our society, and one which seems to be somewhat forgotten. And we have to find a way to try to minimize the destruction that is happening in this particular area. I'm just going to share a story with you, and there are many stories that can be told, but a young girl who was in the fourth grade, I think it was the fourth grade, had her phone out in the classroom, and the teacher asked for the phone. Now, we know that phones have become a very important part of our society, and we know that children are getting phones at a younger and younger age. In a lot of cases, parents think of this phone as being a safety valve so that their children can keep in constant contact with them. So we know that these phones have become a very important part of our children's lives. They've also become an irritant in the classroom when children are paying more attention to their phones than they're paying to instruction. So we need to realize that we have to minimize the way that children use these phones in the classroom. And I taught for 30 years, and I understand the battle that has gone on about these cell phones in the classroom. Well, this teacher attempted to take the phone from the child, and during the process of doing this, the child bit the teacher. Okay, and so the child was disciplined, and the mother, after hearing this, became enraged. And she made a lot of threats related to the teacher. The mother then followed the teacher from the parking lot of the school and threw a brick through the teacher's window and proceeded to beat the teacher, assault the teacher, her and a couple of other individuals. The teacher was left beaten and bruised and made it to the hospital and, of course, was being treated. The issue becomes that teachers are at the mercy of children throughout the children's school career. And we have to ask ourselves, how are we going to go about protecting teachers from what has become some irate parents who don't seem to be able to control themselves? Now, there is a mechanism to protect your child from your teacher, and you can always move your teacher to a up and leave her job that easily. And when a teacher, in some cases, maybe when you get to high school, is not as athletic or not as strong as her students or his students, and we have teachers who are being assaulted by students, then possibly assaulted by parents, how do we protect these people from something that's becoming a more of a common occurrence with people bringing guns on campus and other situations? There is a large number of teachers who are being assaulted on these campuses. And we have to ask ourselves, what do we need to do to protect these people that we put in harm's way on a daily basis, asking them to become involved in breaking up fights and other things? And we see a large number of, when we talk about an increased number of people being shot by policemen, there's an increased number of teachers being videotaped, being assaulted by students as well. So we have to ask ourselves, what kind of environment do we want to be in, or society do we want to live in, when teachers are at the mercy of their students, and who can't even impose the rules that the school has in their classroom when they're looking at the possibility of being assaulted by parents or our teachers? So we need to come to some understanding that some kind of protocol needs to be followed to let people know that they just can't behave any kind of way they want to. Cheryl, what is your thoughts related to what we see as a constant changing in our society, where people are allowing their children and themselves become involved in violence?
Good evening, and how is everyone doing today? This is really a good topic, and I did get a chance to look at the videos, and I did get a chance to listen to the response that was going on through the text messages. You know, although within the system they can have things in place, but really it won't stop the behavior of the parents. As far as, you know, the little girl, the lady who was assaulted, her mother said, you know, that she felt bad for the little girl because of what her parents is teaching her. And what they're saying, that they're upholding bad behavior. So when she gets grown and she gets out here, then she will think that anything and everything that she do, that her parents would be there to the rescue and handle it. That won't be the case. Now, how can you avoid it? I mean, they took this outside of the classroom, you know, in the lady course. So that means that they can catch you anywhere, whether it's in the classroom, on the school grounds, or in a public setting. And, I mean, I've never heard of such foolishness, because I know if any of my children, my mama children, had got in trouble, we automatically got scared. Because if anybody, teacher or anybody in the neighborhood, had to chastise us, we was going to get it worse when she got home or my parents got home. They, you know, more parents are trying to be the friends of their children. And again, I say, a lot in my generation, I've heard a lot of people that I went to school with, I'm not going to do my children what my parents did me. And our parents was not our friends. But they're upholding wrong behavior now. And they sending such bad messages to the young people. And then that's why some of them as adults, because I also saw the video where the 16-year-old boy assaulted the teacher in the class. And, I mean, I say trial them. Trial them all to the parents, the children, because if the children are not going to be stopped, let the law stop them. Let them show them very early on that this behavior is not acceptable. You know, and I understand that, you know, there's the union and other things put in place. But once you leave the school grounds, I mean, what do you do then? And then the fear that the teachers have, you know, and that's why a lot of the teachers don't tell the students anything out of fear of what the children, you know, of the repercussions that the children or the parents, you know, it's sad. We can't even go to school and get a good education today. And, I mean, it is really sad. And she said that one of the students walked in the class 45 minutes late, disrupting the class, and the teacher didn't say nothing. And my sister said, "I'm sorry," and told the young man, "You will not do this on my watch. I'm paying for this class, and I'm going to learn. So now if you're going to do what you do, then you're going to take it outside the class." So we got to come together. We cannot accept this behavior.
And when I asked the question about what we're going to do to protect teachers, I realized that we are at the mercy of people who have extreme behaviors. But I think it's just like we have additional punishment for people who mess with police officers, because police officers need to be protected. We seriously need to think about, as a nation, having some type of additional protection for teachers, because they are there at the mercy of these students. They have to be in there with 30 students. They have to be there because that's their job. And in some instances, we are putting them in harmful or possible violent situations because they're kids who are not being trained well. And in that situation, we need to give them some added protection related to saying, if you put your hands on these teachers, you're going to get more than the normal type of penalty, because these teachers have to work and they have to be protected. As regular citizens, we're not put in harm's way in this fashion. Okay? We go to work with adults. And so therefore they have a different set of requirements. But as teachers, we're put in the environment where we have to deal with people who have not been raising their children properly and who may victimize the general public. Joyce, what is your thought on this subject?
Hello, everybody. Well, first of all, I really don't think that cell phone has a place in a classroom, to be honest with you. That should be one of the rules, no cell phones on in the classroom. And if that is as far as having a place where the cell phone is to be put in a special section until the classroom is over and be locked up, then so be it. But it used to be when my son was going to school, everybody had these, it wasn't cell phones at the time, it was these other little gadgets. I forgot what they called it, but they was obsolete now. But
beepers.
Beepers, right. That was not allowed in the classroom. The beepers were not allowed to be on where you can beep or text, you know. But in some situations where the emergency outside the classroom, as far as getting to point A to point B, as far as from school to home, and you need your cell phone to let your parents know where you are, then so be it. But when you come into a classroom, I think that there should be a special setting, something there for that to be locked up. And the classroom is for a class. It's not to be taking no phone calls, no emergency. Everything needs to go through the office. If there's an emergency or you need to make contact, you got to go through the office. That's protocol. So that shouldn't even be, you know, that should be a part of the school constitution, no cell phones, and it should be distinctly to the parents. And parents need to stop taking up for the kids when they know that the kids is wrong. Because my thing is that I don't have a problem with the teacher. I have a problem with you. Why did you feel that it was necessary for you to interrupt the class and to be on a cell phone anyway when you're there to learn? That would be my take on it, you know. So I really do, you know, school is so differently now than when I was going to school and even when my son was going to school, although, you know, he went to a semi-private and then he went to a public school, true enough. But I went one day when I was working with one of my coworkers to school. She had to go take her son something. I was stunned to see policemen, guards there at the, and it was like all chained up. You know, you had to go through a gate in order to get to the school. It scared me to death because in my mind, I'm locked in this system. If anything take off, I don't know how in the hell I'm going to get out of here. It's crazy that you have to lock your kids in the school to get an education. That was one of those situations, and that just baffled me. So school system is so differently now. I really can't explain on what needs to be done, but I would think that just being realistic, that when you come into a classroom, that should be a special place where you need to put your cell phones away because there's no place for it for the hour or hour and a half or 30 minutes that you're in my classroom. It's all about learning. And it's not about communicating outside this area. If there's an emergency, they need to go through the office, and the office needs to come and respond that way. Thank you.
Well, I just want to let you guys know that during my 30-year period toward the end, that used to be a constant battle with students and the cell phone. You know, put your cell phone away, and then when you get caught talking on it, or texting on it, I would have to ask for your cell phone. And then normally what we do is take your cell phone and then give it to the administrators in the office, and then you would have to go down there at the end of the day and get your cell phone. But it was a constant battle because they didn't want to give you their cell phone because of how important it has become to their personal and social lives. And so you have to know that it is a battle with these kids, and the younger that they get these cell phones, the worse they become related to the cell phone. But the cell phone is just one aspect. I saw videos where teachers were assaulted because they didn't give a student the grade that they wanted. And you have to understand that a lot of this is intimidation is being happening in middle school and in high school, and even as down in elementary school, where these students will be cursing teachers out and threatening to do all kind of things to their teachers. We've heard about students who will put pills in their students' coffee, in their teachers' coffee, and all kind of things. And these are early age that he's doing these things. And so we have to send a message some type of way to these students that you will be punished in a extreme way when you assault or do anything that is harmful to your teachers. Dee, what is your thought about we send these teachers in harm's way? We know that some of these schools are worse than others, but it can happen at any school. And how these teachers need to be protected from what has become a violent society.
Well, thank you for the topic, James, and hello, everybody, and good to be with you all tonight. James, I think you really touched on it a moment ago when you said that the cell phone is only part of the issue. The other part of the issue, from where I can see in times gone by, is the other problem is defiant behavior. Which has become the norm for today's kids, for today's young adults and kids even as young as 8. If you want to test that theory, go to any school district area, and watch your kids when they get out of school, how they walk in the street, and know that you are coming down the street and they are defiant about getting out of the way. And that's commonplace. And I've witnessed that with even young elementary grade school kids, especially when they're in a group. It's a thing about, I think, with them, it's a thing about clout. The more defiant you are, the more you are acceptable. And so these are the fundamental things that we got to start touching on. And so let me offer something in the realm of the political differences, if you will. All right. When it comes down to the conservative way of thinking and the way they want to have their kids attend school, we know that most of people in the conservative mind thought they try to put their kids in magnet schools or private schools, whereas people on the left, if you will, the more liberal of our ideology, we attend the public schools, and the problem with that is that the public schools over the years have become lax in authority. And so in time, everything is acceptable. You know, so when you start, if you give a little leeway about the cell phone, then quite naturally that gets out of hand. If you get a little leeway about coming to class late, that gets out of hand. So we got a fundamental issue again about how we're going to tackle these issues going forward. And let me just throw a little something on the table, and I promise to let it go. You know, over in the Korean Peninsula, the United States are moving in battleships in that area. My question is, if we are blessed enough to get through all of that, what are we going to do to change our fundamental behavior about everything? So we got to start paying attention to what's really going on in our own community so we can have a better start the next time going forward. Thank you.
And, Dee, you bring up a point, too, not only for how things are handled in magnet schools and private schools and some of these elite schools. You know, I'm just going to share a few things with you related to how I had to deal with certain situations. And it's not just, again, it's not just cell phones. I told a young man to put away his card. We had assignment. He had work to do. I told him to put away his card. And I must have told him 2 or 3 times to put away the card, and he chose not to to heed my instructions. So I took his card and I ripped him up in his face and threw him in the garbage. After class, I went to my administrator to just inform him that, you know, there may be an issue with the card. And I thought I would get support from him. He indicated to me, he said, "Mr. Deshay, why did you tear up the card?" I said, "Well, I thought that, you know, it was a deck of cards. They didn't cost but $2 or $3, you know, $4 at the most. And it wasn't a big value." So I tore up the card. He said to me, "Well, what if the card had been a Walkman?" I said, "Well, if it had been a Walkman, of course, I wouldn't have just tore the Walkman up because the Walkman had a little more value to it." He made such an issue about those cards and them being that child's cards, not focusing on the fact that the child had disobeyed my request or my orders. And so then that's what teachers meet up against in these classrooms when they don't get the support, because the administrators don't want to deal with irate parents or irate students. So they want you to, they have devalued our ability to control the classroom.
But in essence, two wrongs don't make a right. You know, that was his private property. So two wrongs don't make a right.
Well, in my thought, and I tore up a lot of cars, I'm going to have to tell you, your property should be brought to my class if they're not for school purposes. Cars are not supposed to be in school, period. You can't gamble
on
campus.
I know, but psychologically,
they serve
you
no purpose on campus. But let me go on and tell you one other, and you all can get me on that if you can. But I'm going to tell you, I tore up a lot of cars. Now, I went to a school in Orlando, which is one of our prominent schools. I taught there. They were changing the policy for safety reasons and telling students that they could long longer wear flip-flops. Now, you know, white people love wearing flip-flops. But the issue was that as they ascended and descended the stairs, that these flip-flops were a safety issue, and their feet being all out was a safety issue. Do you know that it became such a major problem with changing that rule that they just gave up? They could not even change a rule that was in the best interest of the students, because students were so defiant and teachers were having to send students out of the classroom or reprimand the students so much every day for wearing flip-flops that they had to say, forget it. And see, that is one of the problems. Students have gotten to the point where they feel like they can flex their muscles and defy rules that might be in the best interest of students. Now, we changed the rule about students had to wear lanyards and always walk around the campus with their IDs so they could be identified on campus. So if you can make somebody wear a lanyard or kick them out of school or send them to a special place because they don't have their ID, why can't you make them change their shoes if their shoes have been deemed a safety issue? But these are the kind of things that are going on in our schools. Cheryl, what are your thoughts?
You know, when the conversation was going on, I was thinking about, just like Dee mentioned, you know, defiance. The high school that my son just graduated from, they had where you had to leave your cell phone in the office, and you couldn't take your cell phone in the class and pick it up at the end of the day. Well,
when he was in the ninth grade, I noticed that more people did it. But as he got to the 12th grade, none of the kids left their phones. They carried their phones on them. So first of all, they bucking against the system. Then I've known on several occasions where they were using the phone and the phone got taken away from them, and a parent went to the school irate because of the amount of money that they paid for the phone, and you don't take my child's phone away from them. So not the children being more and more defiant. And what happens is just like you were saying, the system starts to back down on a lot of the things that they put in place because of the actions that the parents are taking when they come to the school. And it became more, you know, it's that, no, you don't take my child's phone. I didn't pay it over $500 for this phone. And so what happens is now you can bring the phone to class, but you can't be caught using the phone, or the phone can't go off in the class. So
you know what needs to be done? I think it's a contract needs to be done from up front with the parents and the school, and a contract would be to make them sign certain things. Like the flip-flop. No, I wouldn't argue with the young lady if they want to wear flip-flops, but make them sign a waiver that in case that you get hurt or whatever, there's no bearing on the school because you refuse to follow the rules. There's got to be contracts signed. You know, even in private schools and independent school, there are contracts. So you make the kids sit there with their parents and both of them sign a contract that what the school bylaws are. Either you can follow your kid, follow these bylaws or whatever, then that's it. So then she would have no reason to come up and say, I don't care if you paid $900 for the phone. But you sign a contract, you and your son, stating that that phone would not be in the premises of the classroom during the time that you are learning. It's just certain rules, and I think the school needs to be more firm and don't back down. You just really do need to come up to date with the system as to what is happening out there and put more restrictions. And those bylaws are something that the school needs to stand up and make sure that they're in place. You know, a lot of this can be dealt with, I think, up front.
Now, that's the problem. They are, because at the beginning of the year, we get these papers with dress code, with the cell phone. We have to sign them, and the student has to sign them. But what happens is, the school backs down, because once the parent comes verbally in their face, then they back down. So they're not upholding what is, you know, the contract at all. They're
right.
Allowing the parents to, you know, to dictate to them instead of them holding their ground.
That's
again,
right.
You
I think
sign papers at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. The parents
right.
as well as the students.
Yeah, well, my thing is, as far as the school being represented, they need to step it up then, because I would have pulled that, went to the file cabinet, pulled that right there and let her know, did you sign this? Is this your signature? Well, these are the bylaws, and this is the reason why that we had to do this. And you being the adult and give them all the respect is that reverse psychology, which most of them don't know how to use by the time that they approach you. So when they go high, you go low with your voice, and you bring their temperament down, and then you'll be able to talk to them one-on-one. You know, I guess I used to deal with irate customers all the time, and that's what I used to do. I let them get all the little beef out, and then you talk real low when they have to say, pardon me, what did you say? See, so then you bringing them down. So once I got them down on my level and brought their little temperament down, then you can deal with them and you can reason and make them make sense, you know, let them see the big picture.
Well, one of the problems, and is you guys need to understand, is the cell phone brings a lot of distraction in the classroom. And one of the reasons is because you have a child has the ability to call people on campus. We had a situation at one of our schools where a young man was mistreating a young lady, he was being mischievous. He took the young lady's pocketbook. Okay. She calls home and tells her brother that this boy done took my pocketbook and he won't give it back. Now, she could have easily went to her teacher, told one of her teachers or told one of the administrators, and he would have located the young man and got her purse back. But because she had access to somebody off campus, the person came on campus with another young man, and the young man found the boy, hit the boy. The boy fell and hit his head on the concrete and died. So now, you know, young people don't have a way to understand how their actions can create even a crazy actions. Now, she don't got her brother in trouble and her brother's friend in trouble behind some mischievous stuff. And you know that people are going to be mischievous. That's just something that's been going on for years. And then again, you bring parents into the classroom. And when you have someone who is being defiant already and who's trying to record you or do whatever they can to strengthen their position by using these devices, you create an unsafe environment for teachers and other students. Because some parents are not mentally in control of their behavior. I mean, they're beating their wives and beating their children at home. You know they don't care anything about other adults outside of them in the same way. So, D, you have a situation where you can bring the general violence that is going on outside to the environment of the school by the use of these cell phones. Are you there, G?
I'm sorry, James. I wasn't sure that was meant for me. Look, you know, the cell phone can be a bad tool to have in the school environment, especially now with Instagram and this other pictorial app that's being used on these cell phones. It can now be a moving slideshow for any despicable behavior that's done outside of the classroom. And so when you bring these type of things into the classroom, it can be a major distraction. And so, like you all been saying, they really need to get a handle on the rules being given concerning these distractions. And the school and the state, for that matter, need to stand behind the school and the administration and the rules being given. It's too much freedom, especially for the people and the students that want to come to school and learn. A lot of people go to school because they're forced to get out of the house, and so that, you know, there has to be some medium to where the administration and the teachers can be assured that somebody's going to stand behind them. So like you all have been saying, once the parents get involved and they know they got defiant children, and they come in with the hood mentality, and I don't mean to say that in a racial way. The parents can be just as defiant as the kids. And it's only because the parents have come to accept the fact that their kids are defiant, and then when they take that behavior to other public facilities, they pretty much are in cahoots, if you will, or they condone that behavior. That's what I'm trying to say. They condone that behavior, and so the state needs to get involved and change these parameters so the teachers can feel like they have some kind of backbone behind them, and when it comes down to educating the rest of the kids. Thanks.
Hey guys, I have to tell you that we have gotten to the point where teachers are instructed can't display any behavior that might create fear in students. And, you know, when we have students that behave the way our students, some of our students are behaving, all they know is being put in check. And so, you know, I'm glad that I'm retired because I don't know where we're going as a school system. When I was in high school, I had the most respect for my coaches. I had respect for my teachers and knew that the last thing in the world I wanted my teachers to do was call my coaches or call my parents and tell them if you're not strong enough to get up in the face of a child that's being defiant, these children will run over you. If they don't have some sense of fear about what it is that you're capable of doing, they will really buck you. And so I have told students before, you know, hey, listen, you don't want to accidentally trip over something that I'm willing to lose my job for. And I said it just like that. I said, you better be careful, because if you trip or stumble over something I'm willing to lose my job over, you're going to put yourself in harm's way. When I went to break up a fight, I would tell students, hey, look, if you hit me, I'm going to get my lick back. So, you know, I had to get nitty-gritty with some students and say some things that people might say, well, that's unprofessional. But that was the reality of the environment that I was in. Because if you didn't and you felt and they felt like they could get up in your face, you'd have your back to the blackboard and they'd be up in your face. And so people don't understand that because they don't spend their time around some of these kids. And I have said situations where my authority has been disrespected and that I had to take action. Two girls were fighting, and I told a group of my students, go to the classroom. They didn't go to the classroom, and when they finally came to class, one of them was drinking a soda, and I snatched the soda out of her hand and took her to the office. Now, the police were called, and they wanted to say that the one parent wanted to say, well, I assaulted her child by grabbing her by the arm and taking her to the office. And then the police finally decided that as a teacher, we are in a parental role when students are in school, and that grabbing her by the arm was a legitimate means of taking her where she didn't want to go. So what I was supposed to say, baby, please come to the office. She had already defied me by not going to the classroom. And so there have been many times when I had to suggest to people, you know, they say a blanket statement, the teachers, I'm administrators, don't put your hand on the kid. And then I say, okay, now when they start fighting, what you want me to do? See, you as a teacher, you damned if you do and damned if you don't. If they fighting and you let them fight and one of them get hurt, it's why didn't you intervene? Why didn't you do something to protect my child? Well, to do that, I'd have to put my hands on them. Said, don't put your hands on them.
Throw water on them. I would keep a big bucket of water right there in your room. So when they start that, go throw the damn water on them. That's what I would have done.
I like that. That's a good answer.
You're not touching them. I think we as educators, we're older than these young people. We got to outsmart them. We got to start thinking. They got control. We got to take our control back. And the only way that we can do that is that we got to start showing them that I'm going to outsmart you. We are smarter than they are. We got to show them that their way is not the right way. And the way that we do that, we're going to have to stand our ground and outsmart them. I would have me a bucket of water, and every time they think they want to fight, because I tell you one thing, they'd be both soaking wet.
and that will be their last time. And you, plus, you have sent a message to all everybody else. Don't even think about it, because your ass gonna get wet.
I wish it was. We were able to do that, and it sounds like a good method. But I tell you, some of these people, man, they fight. You really need to go to YouTube and see how ugly some of these fights get. And again, all these kids got cameras, so they're videotaping this stuff. And I just, look, I am, you all have to understand that there's a certain man code that men have, and I know D is aware of it, and I'm sure you ladies are aware of it, that you have an amount of space that you're not going to let anybody violate. And when somebody violates your space, you go into attack mode. So it is just something that you all of us have. It's, and you have kids who want to use "I'm a child" when it's convenient. They want to act like adults, but when it's, "Oh, you did this to me, you did this to me, I'm just a child. You didn't have to treat me this way." But you didn't have to act like an adult 5 minutes ago. And that's what we find ourselves in right now, Cheryl. We have young people who decided they're going to be adults, and they're going to defy the people who are in charge of their lives.
And I think that's where communication come in. That if we start talking to our young people more and explaining things to them, and you do it in a way to you getting your message across, but not making them look so small, then, you know, I think we can move forward. It reminds me of this one movie, I don't know, but it was about this black principal, and he used to carry a baseball bat and the whole bit, but he reformed the whole school system, and I guess it was built on a true story. That you know, we just got to have determination. I think a lot of times we get into our position and we feel so overwhelmed, and then we let them win, and we cannot let our young people win, because in the end, they're not winning. You know, we're not saving them that way by just letting them have their way. We got to be stern, and we got to remind us that we're the boss. You know, we're the adults. We have the respect, and they got to give us what we deserve, is that respect. And that's in the classroom. That's outside the classroom. We got to let them know, and we got to let them know in their minds about if they do the right thing, how far they can go. We got to let them know inside that they got something special about them. But in order for them to reach that potential, they got to do the work. And the work is in the classroom. You got to do it in the classroom. This is where it starts here. You know, I would have that pep talk. You got to build these kids up. You got to make them think that they can cover earth in with their brain. We got to let them know that your brain is so special. Prime, and we got to show them that brain works. You're tough. You're good at what you do. We got to show them that how smart they are. But it's not being deterrent and acting ugly and being a showmanship, because that showmanship, we can look at clowns and we can see how far they get, and we can bring it on and put it into realistic being. And we can do that by showing them some of the football players who used to ego trip on TV, thought that they was the world, and now they don't have a pot to piss in and a window to throw it out of. We can show them, and show the ones who use their heads how they can be on a talk show, how they can turn things around, and then they can be a mentor to other people. So we got to let them know that being a show clown today, it's not going to get you where you need to be tomorrow, because when you look at that, they're going to say, as a has-been, you wish that you wouldn't have wasted your time the way that you did.
Sydney Poitier, to share with love. To share with love. Sydney Poitier.
And she might have been talking about the guy from Philadelphia. I can't remember his name. That was a big movie, too, where he took a failing school, and their test scores went up over the course of him being the principal. But it is just, you know, we have to come to grips with the fact that public schools are being asked to do things they never had to do before, because of the kind of attitudes that are being brought into the school system and the amount of drug usage that is being brought into the system. And so we're asked to do a lot to deal with a lot of social ills that are coming into our school system. And people are just, you know, when you got your juvenile detention centers busting at the seams, there's a reason for that. You have these young people going on the city bus and hitting the bus driver and fighting with bus driver, fighting with anybody in authority. And so you got to understand some of these kids have no fear of becoming violent, and they don't care what age they're willing to do this at. And they're so used to getting suspended. Suspension in and of itself is not fixing the problem. And that these, I think Cheryl might have said, they need to be treated as adults. I don't have any problem with if you fight at school, fighting at school shouldn't be any different than fighting in the mall. If a police officer catch you fighting in the mall, then you go into detention. So why should it be the school any different? Why should it be okay to fight at school, but you can't fight at the mall? Comfortable, when they fight and do display violence at school, all they're going to do is get suspended.
Well, you know, James, you're making a great point, and Ms. Joyce made a phenomenal point. And the point is, this is where we are. Look, the current day educator is ill-equipped to handle today's society when it comes to these kids. Apparently, when today's educator has gone to college and learned the trade of teaching, they have not been given the tools to take into account that you're dealing with a concrete jungle for the most part. But as Ms. Joss was speaking, she reminded me of an old movie in the black and white days, of filmmaking, and the name of the movie was To Serve with Love. And that was like Sidney Poitier's third film that he ever made. And he was a teacher in British Columbia, in England somewhere, I think it was. And he been the first black teacher this school has ever seen among nothing but white kids. And you know the posture and the demeanor that Sidney Poitier took back in those days, that he was not going to be disrespected by nobody. And so in that, he showed the kids how they can be better than what they thought they could be. And that's Ms. Joy's point. Today, with today's kids, even with children, we can't go about our way of parenting the way that we was taught and the way we was parented. Today, you have to use a sense of psychology. And that's something that today's parents don't understand. They holler at the kids and they threaten the kids, but they don't want to use adult psychology, and maybe they don't know how to. So when it comes down to educating the kids, yes, sometimes you have to single out these kids, or you have to hold a class and teach differently. You have to interact with the kids for the most part. Even when it comes down to the defiant child that brings in the cell phone, some kind of way you have to relate to these kids, even the defiant one, and get them to think in a creative manner and put them on the spot a little bit in a loving way. Because, you know, when you peel back the sheets of these kids, they don't have the love at home in a lot of cases. They don't have that love. So when you can appeal to them, and I know Ms. Joyce and Ms. Audrey and Ms. Cheryl can attest to this, when you appeal to these kids and show them some kind of love that they're not mm-hmm. getting at home, you've already broken the barrier right there.
That's right.
So,
when you put the
little itty bitty white teacher in these public schools, they'll rip her apart because she's ill equipped. So there has to be a new structure on how to teach if you're going to deal with public schools. Now, the magnet schools and the private schools are a little bit different because they have a structure of rules that has to be followed by. And if you don't follow these rules, then you're out of there.
So
I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. Thank you.
I agree with you.
Well,
100%.
I think what you're saying, is true, but you need to realize that every animal cannot be trained the same way. And I'm not necessarily trying to call our students animals. I have dealt with students in different places and different levels, and there are some people that you're going to always get a bad result out of, and it's not necessarily the majority. I've taken kids on college tours and middle school and high school, and you're going to always have, you got to remember, some kids, like, just give you an example. When you take 30 kids or 60 kids on a trip, there are going to be some kids who are on that trip because they want to do things they can't do at home. And no matter how much structure you put to it, they're going to try to figure out a way to do the things that they are bent on doing. Then you have parents who know that their children are sexually active and who are prone to doing things that they ain't got no business doing. Well, we don't necessarily have a vehicle to protect your child if that is his proclivity, because we got 4 students in a room. At some point, the chaperones have to go to sleep, and, you know, they're going to be bent on doing things they don't have, you know. So I know students did things that they weren't supposed to do. I just wasn't able to. I caught boys hiding in the bathroom when they knew they weren't supposed to be in those girls' rooms. I caught them, I fell asleep, and I didn't realize what time it was. Well, you ain't trying to make your way back to your room until I caught you. You know, so you have kids who are going to try to break rules no matter what situation they're in. They're going to be doing things they shouldn't be doing. And you have some kids who just, because of their environment, that hour with me, I'm just going to say this. Some kids, some teachers are very successful with reaching students. And then there's some students can't be reached because you don't have enough time during the day to overcome the environment they go to every day. And so you got some kids with some violent spirits in them. I have never known, when the whole time I was in school and we got in fights in school, you used your hands. You never used your feet. I have never thought it was okay for me to kick somebody in the head when they get on the ground. Nowadays, that's commonplace. If you get on the ground and I'm standing up, I'm going to stomp you in the head. That's because the sense of humanity has changed. The sense of being kind to one another has changed. And we have an environment now that people just do the ugliest of things to each other. You know, I could never think of picking up a gun and pointing it at somebody. But we have young people who, they do that without a second thought. So, Cheryl, we know what's going on in the world outside our schools, and that same kind of mentality is being brought in our schools.
You know, it is, and that goes to show you that we are dealing with so many different people that are on so many different levels. And, you know, I'm not sure who said it, but it could be Joyce, that, you know, when someone is in my face or their level of speaking is high, I also, too, wait until they finish talking and talk very calmly.
you know, until I bring them down. Now, that can happen with some people, but some people get mad because you're trying to be nice, and they're trying not to be nice to you. So it's making them very upset. So, you know, and then think about, you know, everything that was said. Look at all the work you got to do and go through with behavior just to teach. That's a lot. And I mean, you know, and that was mentioned already. We got to start at home. You know, I did the same thing with my kids. Don't let me be called to school, because I'm not going to show in front of you that I am for you. And I tell them to go through the proper chains of command. If something is going on, somebody do you something, you tell the teacher. Because, first of all, it's showing the teacher respect. And if the teacher has not done anything, then the principal needs to know. And it happened to me because my mama showed me how to do it at school. You know, as long as they was talking to me, you know, let the teacher know what's going on. And then from the teacher to the principal, because it was like, now, you know, my mom told me, as long as they're talking, I'm going to tell what's going on. But now I can't let somebody hit me. So when it got to the point when this person came out of their classroom and into my classroom, you know, I had to defend myself. But I went through the proper channels. So when it came down to be suspended, I didn't get suspended, because I've already told them, you know, I'm not going to do nothing as long as nobody don't put their hands on me. But I can't stand up there and let somebody just put their hands on me. But today, we don't do that. We take situations in our own hands. When I say that, I say, you know, a lot of people do. They don't go through the proper channels. They're not even going to show the teacher respect. They don't take care of their own self. And you know what? And sometimes if they don't take care of it right then and there, they're going to take and bring something back to school to get back at you. And that's where in schools, we have it in the job situations, because look at the killings that go on in jobs where somebody got fired. And now they're going to get back not only the person that fired them, but some other innocent employees as well. You know, a lot of the times I tell you, know, we're not thinking. We're not thinking at all. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of what we put in our bodies and we nourish our bodies and our minds with is a result of what's going on. You know, and what we are not doing for ourselves. We're not being as healthy human beings in our minds and in our bodies to be able to rationalize with a lot of things. You know, we got the drugs, we got the alcohol, we got the food that does things to us. We're not keeping our bodies, our minds hydrated to be able to think rationally. We're all over the place. And we're expecting people to react and act rationally. But this is the results that we're getting. The different types of medication. You know, if we start to read up on it, those that take medication for ADHD and all of these other things, they cause depression. They want to shut the children up, to put them in a train. And we say, oh, they have to take their medication to calm them down. This medicine causes depression. It causes suicidal, you know. We got to go even further back than just the situations. We're looking at what's going on in the homes, broken homes. Kids don't know how to love. A parent, a father walks out and a child is angry and going to take it out on everybody. We're not getting counseling. So there's a variety of things that is in place. meaning that's taking place right now, why we have such the behaviors and the attitude problems that we have today. Now, how we can fix it? Some of the things and some, you know, what was mentioned, you know, today, speaking softly. It'll work for some and it won't work for others. My daughter went to a school and it was on TV, John McDonald. She graduated from that school. She graduated from the school before that television program came on with John McDonald. And it was locked down. You got swiped up and down before you can even enter into the school. I mean, it's sad. It's sad we can't even get an education without being worried. You know, and with these cell phones, that's how we get the immediate attention on social media. That's how they get recordings of the fight, recordings of things that said. And then we got the teachers that is afraid. They're afraid of their life. And, I mean, a lot of them, you can't blame them because you don't even know what they're packing. So, I mean, like I said, you know, we got to come together. And I know it's school by school what we're facing in the schools and try to put things in place. But having, you know, when we go into the office and administrators, that they stick together and don't back down on what's in place. And pull out all the stops.
We're gonna take a break and we'll come back and continue our conversation.
Up.
Just a Thought by James T. Deshaies. There are times when happenstance creates life-changing opportunities. It is important to keep your eyes and ears open to those moments so you can grasp the golden ring as it passes by. Don't allow your past to create doubt of the possibility of a new roadway to success. The magic in life keeps the universe open to changes in direction in everyone's life. No one has a market on what is required to make life worth living. We all have to obtain a focus and work toward the dream. Each day gives us a 24-hour reset. Evaluate the day before and determine if the same steps should be repeated. Just fully understand that our Creator does not have favorites. The universe is prepared to favor the efforts we all make daily. My steps can't be rewarded any more than anyone else's. Just believe that you deserve to have your dreams come true. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock West Coast Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 o'clock West Coast Time. Please call in to 657-383-0309 so your voice can be heard loud and clear. Please visit my website, www.JamesTDeshaies2.com. That is www.JamesTDeshaies2.com. Also consider purchasing my books, Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, Passion, Desire, and Contemplation, at the website lulu.com. That's www.lulu.com. I look forward to you being a part of my audience. Again, call in every day at 657-383-0309 so your voice can be heard loud and clear and unfiltered.
Regina, I'm glad you finally made it in. I really would have enjoyed having you hear some of the discussion we had, because you're still real close to the classroom, and some of the love to hear some of the stories you had related to some of the odd behavior or violent behavior of some of our kids. How you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. I'm just leaving. In fact, I'm just leaving school, so I'm glad your program was extended.
Yeah, well, you know, we have times when we are given the opportunity to go a little further. Do you have any insight into, I shared the information with you. What are your thoughts related to some of the violent behavior of the students and the parents that are going on around our nation?
Well, Jane, good evening, everyone. And I saw that, and we started having dialogue with the when you sent the clip out, you and I and some others of us, and I wrote that literally made me sick. My heart started having palpitations, and to think that a parent would follow a teacher, take a brick, burst her window, or beat her in the head with a brick because of a cellular device. It is sickening. And unfortunately, as I expressed, yes, it was a good idea. It was very much fortunate that someone witnessed it. The police stopped it. It was in broad daylight. But still, with the mentality of these folk these days, that teacher is going to be on the losing end in several ways. Yes, she may get a settlement, but she's lost her fought in her oomph to teach, I'm quite sure. She will be a mockery because as crazy as it sounds, they're going to laugh at her because she, quote, unquote, lost the fight. That is crazy. But that is the way, that's the reality of things now. And it's no wonder that we are having a teacher shortage. Who wants to come into this type of foolishness? It's no longer about having a passion to teach. I just want to change the world. It's a hard job to change the world because you've got to change those parents. You teach the children and we send them right back into a lot of times that foolish situations that they come from.
Yeah, it is inconceivable that we find ourselves in these violent situations. Our society seemingly is becoming more and more violent. And, you know, we're just not aware that, you know, these things are happening in our schools on a regular basis. These kids are fighting in schools almost each and every day. And teachers are being assaulted, if not physically, they're being assaulted verbally. And, you know, it is just a situation where, you know, our society has changed so much and the value of our instructors have been abused, where we don't value them enough to focus on the need for them to be safe.
And, you know,
some of it we've done to ourselves. Disrespectful. Understand there have been some teachers who've done some horrific things that have helped in the devaluation of teachers as well.
What do you mean by that?
I mean that there are some teachers who acted inappropriately with students, who've called students' names, who've acted unprofessionally, that has lended itself to some of the devaluation.
Mhm. And I can agree with that. You know, a few years ago, not too long ago, my friends would say, "Well, let's go to so and so club. Let's go out to so and so club." And I would tell them, "No, I'm not going to go party where my parents are. Girl, come on and let's go." We no longer stand for what teachers used to stand for, many of us. The clothes we're wearing, everything that's a fad or fashionable should not be worn. You know, we have a lot of teachers now wearing what's called the cold shoulder. So, you know, their shoulders are exposed to the you know, to the children, short dresses, the LuLaRoe tights, you know, their hips exposed. Yeah, I mean, I can understand that, but it still does not warrant, and I know you're not saying it does, but just beating up a teacher for taking away a cell phone?
Yeah, that's inconceivable, and it's because there are rules in place that deal with when teachers act inappropriately, and we are held to accountable when we touch these students inappropriately. So the parents do have a mechanism for dealing with teachers who handle their kids inappropriately, and they don't have to resort to violence. But so many parents and students are resulting to violence, that this is the environment in the world that we live in now, that people are willing to strike out and hit almost anybody.
And they'll come up and they will want to get their children. And we have a policy where you have to show your ID. oh, my goodness, you talk about, I mean, language I've never even heard before, made-up cuss words. You every kind of made up something in the book. And then I have to step in and I have to say, please understand that it's really for the safety of your child. You wouldn't want anybody to just come and take your child with you and sort of soften their heart. But they're so impulsive and ready to strike out and literally hit. They push past me, and I'm a big girl. And I stand right back and let them walk right on past. Because it's not worth my livelihood, and you know, I've never been a fighter. And then I would be in trouble anyway. You know, they hold teachers to a much higher standard. If someone hits a teacher, we're supposed to stand back and write a police report. We're not supposed to hit back.
Well, I told the audience that when I go in to break up a fight, the first thing I say is, now, one of y'all hit me, I'm going to get my dick back. And I mean that thing. So I would always tell them, as soon as I come in there, I say, look, I'm going to get ready to break y'all up. Now, if one of y'all hit me, I'm going to hit you back. You know, and that's how I
tell them. Parents are the ones fighting. What about when the parents are the ones fighting? You gonna get your lick back with them, too.
I'm going to get my dick back. You got that right. That's a code. D has left us, but that's a man code. You can't get hit and don't get your dick back.
And that's what I was saying about that the young lady that got hit with the brick. I mean, got beat up by the parents. Because she did not get enough licks in. And then this parent tells the people, yeah, I did it. Yeah, I did it. Oh, she's a bad woman now. You know, she's got credibility in the hood now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I went up there and I whipped that teacher's blankety blank. You don't mess with my child, and that child is probably whipping her blankety blank at the house.
Well, we don't have time for me to go to a break. So, Cheryl, I'm just going to go straight to you. What are your final thoughts this evening?
A very good platform, as usual. It's bringing more awareness to how widespread this problem is. And we came up with a few different things that, you know, we can do. But all we got to do is stay safe. Whatever it takes for us, you know, for the teachers to stay safe, whether it's walking out the class, you know, whatever it is, because we just don't know what the kids or their parents have for us.
Mm-mm.
That's
what sure don't.
Joyce, your final thoughts for this evening?
Well, I think that hopefully try to reverse it so the classroom could be the sanctuary for kids coming to school to learn. And I think that in this day and age, it's got to be a new type of approach when we're dealing with our young people. And
yes,
if they could
yes.
develop a place where all cell phones, once you hit the classroom, they have to be locked up within the classroom and return at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't be no place for a cell phone when there's a learning institution within that classroom. It's not
absolutely.
There. And any emergency should go through the office first and then come. But it's not to receive no phone calls within that time frame. Sadly enough, it has to be, I'm assuming, that the new approach, we got to take at least half of that time of the classroom just trying to mentor these kids and really put them in a positive brain form of
mm-hmm.
building them up personally
mm-hmm.
and let them know how good they need to be.
to be able to face the world and the whole bit. It's a sight game, but that has to be the new approach on teaching, because you cannot just come into the thinking that they're coming in there to learn, because first you got to put their mind in a frame of learning first. It's just got to be a new approach as to how we look at our kids and how we have to train them as far as what they need to face the world today. It's just really
yes.
That's where we are.
Yes.
All right. Regina, what is your final thought for this?
Joy said it, and we are getting that training. You know, a whole new world, a whole new way of
teaching,
of
communicating
and communicating with these children, showing them that you love them. At the end of the day, I stand at car rider duty. I throw kisses at my children in the car. Put on the seatbelt, throw them a kiss, and
right.
You know, they feel loved from the time they, and then even, you know, kind of have a little bantering with the parents. Have a rapport with your people, and they will be less likely to hurt you. They'll be more inclined to protect you.
That's right.
But
you've
got to show them that you love them.
That's right. So you got to gain them and psych them. You got to psych them into you care about them enough. And they know if they know that you care about them, they're not going to let no one hurt you, and they're going to let the bad guy respect you when they're in that classroom. They might do something else outside your classroom, but in your classroom, you got their full attention. It's because how you dealt with them. You make them,
you got
to make them
right.
Feel good. You cannot embarrass a kid. They will destroy
no.
You if you try to embarrass them in front of them. That's the wrong approach. Don't ever do that. You got to really make them feel like they're king. And then you
yes.
Can do it in such a way that you use, we're smarter than these kids. That's why they come in their classroom. They want our knowledge. We bow down to their knowledge, and they don't know nothing. So why do we want to put ourselves down on their level? We got to bring them up, and we got to make them think. And how we do that, most of the time we got to psych their ass out.
That's it. My kind of woman, Joy. That's right.
Hello.
That's
I'm telling you, it's the real deal. I miss my calling.
Joy,
that's
it. The hood, the gang used to tell me, Ms. Williams, don't come through here tonight. Don't go through
yes.
The manor tonight.
I'm telling you.
I said, okay, I won't be here. I won't go tonight.
Yeah, that's true, because they love you enough, because they have gained, you have gotten their respect. You made them feel good. You got to make these kids feel good that they can conquer, but you got to let them know that they can do it with head power. That's where we are today. That's where you need to succeed, and I will use certain people who really made it big, who just really now don't have a pot to piss on. You got to show them this is where that clowning going to get you. 20 years later, you can't even get a job. But if you go this route, you can have a TV show. You can have your own show. You can be this. You got to let them think big.
And show them. Show them.
All right.
That's right.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we will see you all tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, where we have another show that impacts the lives of our lives now and in the future. Thank you so much for calling in, and we'll see you all tomorrow. Take care on Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, where your voice is heard loud and clear.
You know I love music. And every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move. It makes me want to have fun. But it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here, it makes me want to...